Blog Talk Radio.
Conservative Chat. My name is Tracy.
And I'm just plain Bill.
And we're here to give you another hour of wonderful chit-chat around the warm fire, cutting up the left and chewing the fat.
Must be snowing there.
It's North America. Of course it's snowing.
I see. Okay. Well, just for the record, I want to tell you, Hayfork does not have snow. In fact, I'm sitting out here looking at a sky full of stars.
Sitting outside, are you?
I am.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
It is. It is almost blizzard-like. The wind is blowing the snow about horizontal to the ground. The drifts are getting pretty deep. We got about 6 inches here today.
Uh-huh.
Nothing significant, just, you know, enough to, you know, be a little bit of a pain in the butt. That
yep.
nice, powdery, packs into a nice, slippery slope on the hills.
Yeah. Yep.
You know,
yep.
I was out and about in it today. It wasn't altogether that bad. We had lots of cars going off the roads again.
Yeah.
You
know. Every winter.
So it's February. People, come on.
Yeah, I know.
You gotta get your winter legs someday.
Well, but, you know, that's true, and you know, there is an upside to all of this.
Yeah.
That being that, you know, it snowed enough in D.C. that Congress decided to go home.
Well, I'm almost getting to the point where I want them to stay.
How many times can they shoot themselves in the foot with a slick shot, huh? Okay.
Reload!
Yeah.
Reload!
Yeah, reload. Yeah, there you go.
That's kind of what I got to say about it. Yeah, and apparently, you know, Washington's got this storm that's blowing away from us right now.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to drop another 10, 15 inches onto Washington.
Yeah, you betcha.
So, you betcha. That's
hey,
fun.
It's all good.
You know, global warming is not climate change.
No, it is not.
Do you
actually,
know?
You know that
you know.
somebody posed a very good question though.
Yeah.
If it isn't global warming, and if it isn't global cooling, then what is it?
Snow cone maker's broken.
Oh, it could be. I don't know. I said, gosh, maybe it's just weather.
Yeah. You know, I was looking at, you know this chart because you've seen the Vostok ice core evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about the fact that I came, over the weekend, I worked my butchkin off this weekend. I did 14 petitions in 4 days.
Ow.
Pretty much brain fried by Sunday night.
Yeah, I'll bet you were. Yep.
I was thinking that I keep saying this to people. You know, people keep saying we're waiting for the other shoe to drop, and I keep saying the shoe has dropped. We're just waiting for it to hit.
Exactly. It's still in midair, folks.
And occasionally I get concerned by the size of the shoe.
Yeah. Yep.
And then I started thinking, realistically speaking, what am I worrying about? Because right now, we have been, over the last 2,000 years, warmer than virtually any time over the last 400,000 years.
Yeah.
We are seriously overdue for a major ice age.
Yes, we are.
Yellowstone is 25 million years overdue for another Big Bang. And we are somewhere between 10 and 15,000 years overdue for a pole shift.
Right, where the pole swap, sure.
Right, the magnetic pole swaps.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm starting to think about going, you know, Obama spending another $1 trillion is not exactly a big shoe compared to one of those three going on.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, he's kind of got like the little shoe in Monopoly compared to one of those shoes.
Yeah, exactly.
Compared
exactly.
to the bozo shoe that one of those could drop.
Oh, man.
And, you know, somebody said, well, you know, how big is Yellowstone? And I said, it's got a 750-mile kill zone. If it goes. 750-mile kill zone.
Yeah.
That takes it from Seattle to Minneapolis.
Yes, it does.
You know, and people will, things like that around there are going to die. Everything within 750 miles dies.
Yes.
If Yellowstone goes off.
Yep.
You know,
and you read in the news that they're having earthquake swarms there?
Yes. This is the biggest swarm they've had in 20 years.
Yep.
Last set of storms were in the late 80s, and we are only approaching the rough, because I think, if I remember right, the 80s, there was about 15,000 earthquakes in that swarm, and we're only up in the, like, 2,000 at this point.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's a good-sized swarm, but it's not big yet. It's getting there. There's no It's not stopping or slowing down at all. So
no, it isn't. It's just keeping right on going. You know, the Mayans may have had something with their 2012 prediction there.
I'm a big fan of that particular conspiracy theory.
I see. Okay.
Only because we should reach a point in the next year or so where nobody will believe it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm a big fan of the contrary.
Everybody
doesn't believe it, then it's probably true.
I see. Yeah, okay. That'll work. You betcha.
Anyway, have you ever seen the movie with Richard Dreyfuss called Let It Ride?
No. Haven't seen that.
Really great movie. He plays a gambler that goes to a horse track, and he's a perennial loser. Just, you know, loser. And he hangs around with a taxicab guy he's a taxicab driver. Another taxicab driver that's even a bigger loser than he is.
Oh, God.
anyways, on this particular day, something happens. And among the things that he does, is, for one of the races, he wins every race. Just so you know, he wins every single race. And every single time he wins a race, he puts the winnings back down. So understand, by the fifth or sixth race, you know, he's starting to put some serious money down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He only misses one race. But the one race he misses is the one race he would have picked wrong.
Whoa, okay.
And at one point, what he does is he goes to everybody that plays there all the time, and he asks everybody that plays all the time who they picked. And everybody gave him their answer, and when he was done, there was only one horse nobody had picked. That's the horse he bet on. And he won.
Okay.
Anyways, it was a really fun movie. I like Richard Dreyfuss, and it was a very fun movie. But it was the general idea that, you know, that sometimes things are really, really bad. It's the contrary that is correct. That's the point that I wanted to make on there. You know, I'm going to be a contrarian here a little bit. I want to start off with Palin's speech on Saturday. Did you get a chance to see it?
I saw about half of it.
I didn't think it was that good.
No, I didn't either.
Content-wise, it was just great. Not content-wise. Delivery, not so good.
Not so good. Nope.
Not so good. It wasn't very polished. She rambled just a little bit. I got the idea that, she could have used probably another set of eyes in there, to do some cleaning up on it, some, tightening up of it. So I didn't let that bother me because
right.
I took it for who she is and what she was doing.
Yeah.
And this was the first, realistically speaking, I think, this was the first speech she gave. Now, I didn't hear the one that she gave in Asia a couple months
no,
ago.
No, I did not.
Private.
Yeah, right.
It was a private group, so we don't know what that one was like. I haven't heard either. But I would suggest that, there's certain benefits to having, a professional speechwriter or somebody that has a comfort level with giving speeches to go over something like that. And, she probably went over it with Todd, and he probably went, that sounds really great. But we probably needed someone maybe a little bit more, I don't want to say professional, but that's what I mean. Another set of ears to tighten it up a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Nothing she said, and I couldn't understand this. There was a whole lot of people that said this. She just tried to take over the Tea Party movement. I'm like, what speech were you listening to?
Exactly.
Because she basically said, I don't want to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, in fact, she specifically said that they ought not to be picking any leaders.
Right. It was kind of the general idea that, she sees this as a grassroots movement, very locally oriented, and the idea of getting from a top-down leadership would just destroy the movement. And I think everyone got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except for the ones that thought that because she was speaking, she was trying to take it over. It just didn't make any sense to me. I read a fair amount of commentary on Sunday from a lot of bloggers, and I just kind of went, I'm certainly not listening to the same speech they were.
No, me either.
And of course, there was lots of people that went, home run, great speech, and I'm sitting there like going,
yeah.
Okay,
no.
Your standards of what is a great speech,
yeah.
We need to notch them up a bit, 10 or 15
right.
feet.
Yeah, right. Actually, my take on her speech wasn't that the speech itself wasn't polished, but there were some times that she stumbled and had to go back to the printout, and she was using fill-in words while she got back to it, which kind of takes away the continuity of what it was that she was trying to say.
Yeah, it just wasn't really well delivered, that's all.
Yeah.
I said I had no problems with what she said.
Nope.
The content was great. I don't have any problems with that. I mean, she pretty much hit all the right places on it. Somebody said, she lost me at the end because she talked about bipartisanship. And I went, huh? Okay, now I understand that the left, when they talk about bipartisanship, this is Barack Obama to the GOP talking about bipartisanship. Okay, so if you don't want to rob a bank with me, how about a 7-Eleven?
Exactly. Exactly.
No, that's Barack Obama and bipartisanship.
Yep.
Okay? Sarah Palin,
we're
going to
rob something.
I get the general idea of Sarah Palin, what she's talking about bipartisanship means, I can support John McCain as a wonderful guy.
She's taking some heat for that, but yeah.
I think the only people she's taking heat for that, are the people that, I'd like to say that they don't have any loyalty, but, there is something to be said for loyalty.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, loyalty is good. You know, my position on Sarah doing that for John McCain is, that's fine, Sarah. Glad you're doing that. Yes, you're showing loyalty. I'm going to contribute to his opponent.
Well, I think she's going, you know, I think if she goes out and says John McCain is a wonderful war hero and a wonderful man, and I think he's done wonderful things for his country, I think if she goes out and says just that and leaves it at that, I think she's done exactly what she should do, and
yep.
I would expect her to do.
Yep, absolutely.
You know,
I also understand that she has endorsed Rand Paul.
Yes, she did.
Yeah.
Absolutely, she did do that.
Yep.
I don't know how he is in comparison to his father.
You know, I don't either, and I guess I really do need to research that, because it really would not be fair to Rand to saddle him with his dad's baggage if it isn't warranted.
Or saddle him with that baggage. You know, I would assume she's been pretty astute as far as this is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think she might be... I'm not ready to take her word on something.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I don't always know what is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
With regard to her, so
yep.
I can't
yep.
really do that.
But
you know, we'll see.
But she can cause me to look at somebody.
She can, yeah. She can suggest that it's worth the time and effort to go look.
Yep. Exactly.
So that was it. That was her speech. I think it was the first, you know, major speech that we've all paid attention to. She's got a ways to go.
Yeah, she does.
And fortunately, she's got lots of time and lots of places to practice it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's fine.
Yep. It absolutely surprised me that the big story out of all of this is, oh, she wrote 6 words on her hand. It's like, yeah, I did that in high school.
I do it all the time.
I do it, me too. I just, God. Oh, man.
All the time. Somebody says, hey, can you do this for me? I'm nothing to write with. Hand open, right.
There you go.
You know, right on there. It's a nice. There, I can carry it around with me and hope I don't do the dishes before I do whatever I'm supposed to do.
There you go. Yep, I
and
know.
Of course, she gave them the dig the next day with the hi mom on there.
I love that. That was just so good.
Which
that
is exactly so the level at which it should have been dealt with.
Absolutely. You bet. Don't make a big deal out of it. Just, hi mom.
You know, nice
and then
back.
Gibbs today screws it all up.
I didn't know. What did he say? What did he do?
Oh, he was doing a press conference. Obama also did a press conference, apparently in a different location, although that isn't clear to me, but it seems like it was. Gibbs had written on his hand a grocery list of some sort and was making a big deal about consulting it, right? So he was poking fun at Sarah over that. At the same time, Barack Obama was saying, we can't let petty politics deter us from what we have to do. And it was like, gosh, did you two talk to each other? You got some guy here doing his petty politics, and you're saying, we can't be doing this petty politics and get done what we need to get done.
Barack Obama is absolutely a perfect example of do as I do, not as I say.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. It was pretty amazing to me in any event. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I find it wasn't even worth my interest.
Mm-hmm.
But something Obama was my interest, is this idea of having, you know, this healthcare summit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, big topic there.
And of course, the GOP has done exactly what they should have done. Okay, if you want to clear the table clean and come, you know, sit down, you know, we'll be happy to do that. And of course, Gibbs has said, no.
No, we aren't doing that.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Have a beer on us.
Yeah, difference between robbing banks and robbing convenience stores.
You know, and who was I? I was actually having a in-person conversation about this with somebody in the last week. The idea that, you know, there is nothing that Obama is proposing that we're interested in even being remotely tied to. You know, the only thing that I want the GOP to be tied to at this point is Obama complaining that they're the party of no.
Yep.
I want Obama to keep repeating that over and over and over and over and over again. So that when he proposes a $3.7 trillion budget that's, $1.3 trillion in the hole,
mm-hmm.
I want
mm-hmm.
him to say, the only reason this is not passing is because the GOP is the party of no.
Yeah,
people are going to go,
yeah.
Great!
Yeah, it's
good.
Sure it is.
Yeah. You know, if we could just get some kind of compromise. What compromise? We're going to reduce the budget to $1 trillion in the hole? What benefit is that? There's no benefit to that. There's
exactly.
Nothing good for the GOP in that.
Yeah. I mean, who was it? One of the comedians on at night, and it might have been SNL, but I don't really remember. and they said, gosh, Congress had this 60-vote majority, and we're interrupting that while they were getting done nothing? And it was like, yeah, that's about right. Uh-huh. Okay.
I'm all for Barack Obama. Who was it? Somebody said it today. The only difference between Barack Obama extending his hand and an average person extending their hand is he's extending the middle finger farther.
Yeah, that's about right.
Victoria just spent the last couple days, because of her eyes, she gets reading books, books on tape.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah.
And she got a book, Michelle Obama's book. I'm assuming it was Michelle Obama's book. It was, mostly about her and leading up to, the election and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, she was listening to that. And I only caught pieces here and there. Man, did you know, because Victoria said she never heard this, do you know that Michelle Obama was disbarred?
Yes, I did know that.
She wasn't actually disbarred. If you do some research and do some digging, this is kind of what apparently happened. She was going to be investigated, and they gave her the option of surrendering her license by court order.
Ooh.
And so it's on the record that she surrendered her license by court order. In other words, surrender your license voluntarily, or we have an investigation.
Mm-hmm.
And she surrendered her license voluntarily.
Wow.
Which is what I heard a year ago, was
mm-hmm.
that, or 2 years ago, was that, yeah, she was a lawyer, but she voluntarily surrendered her license when Barack became a senator. Now, if the mainstream press was unwilling to follow up exactly the details of that, lots of other people said, well, she gave up her career to support him. That's what it would sound like.
That's a great spin.
But of course, there was something significantly worse about it. I won't spread the rumors of what she might have done that would have caused that investigation. You're free to go out and look for it if you want to go dig for it. But I find it rather interesting, given the fact that, you know, she was involved in Chicago politics. Enough said.
Yeah.
Speaking of Chicago politics. Last week, the Democrats voted by pretty much a landslide margin their new candidate for lieutenant governor.
Yes.
And he resigned on Saturday. because apparently, holding a knife to his prostitute girlfriend's neck seemed to have created some kind of stir.
Gee,
apparently, it was in 2005, so it was like, it was out there.
God, in Chicago? I wouldn't have thought that was a disqualification for office.
I don't know. one of the things that Michelle Obama said in her book, that Barack told the replacement, his replacement, in his state Senate seat, what the person asked for advice. Mm-hmm. Barack Obama's advice was, if you want to succeed, don't go to jail. Well, that's pretty serious suggestions. Want to succeed in Illinois politics, don't go to jail. That's a pretty potent little thing. I mean, I'm used to the general idea that Chicago politics is pretty rough and ready, but apparently, if you do a little bit of digging, anybody that's got any kind of name recognition basically does it because they've been doing a perp walk. At some point or another.
Yeah.
They've been arrested for something.
Yeah, they have. His advice is not stay out of trouble. His advice is just don't go to jail.
I would assume it means don't get caught.
I'm guessing that, yeah.
But I don't know if you can not get caught, Blagojevich and, Burris. I mean, eventually some of this stuff comes out.
You know, it does. And particularly in today's age, I mean, there isn't anything that you can't ultimately wind up getting.
Well, I'm kind of glad I'm not involved around the Chicago politics area at this point because I think I'd be banging my head against the wall. I really think I'd be banging my head against the wall.
Yes.
Speaking about banging.
Hey, banking. Subject near and dear to my heart.
Banging heads on the wall. Actually, I want to talk about the economy. But I do want to say one thing. I don't know how much reading you did on the employment picture that was released last week.
Oh, I did a whole bunch of reading on that.
Did you catch the idea that of the some 98,000 people that actually did get jobs last month, that 98% of them were women?
I did not hear that. I didn't
get
deep enough.
Just about everybody that got jobs in January were women. 98% of the new jobs were women. Seems a little odd to me, and so did it seem to the commentator. There is no semblance. Birth death model added 118,000 jobs. To January's numbers. Go figure where that came out of, even though we still ended up with 20,000 in the hole. So it would have been even less, considerably more worse without the birth-death model. Apparently, everybody's going to be really happy about the birth-death model because it's going to be pretty much subtracting jobs for the rest of this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, about 800,000 jobs down for 2009?
Right.
Yeah.
It suggested we had 825,000 more people employed than we actually did. But one of the reasons, of course, we went to 9.7 was because we had 100,000 people just quit.
Yeah. Yep.
Quit. We're
yep.
done. No more of this stuff.
Yep. We aren't looking. We aren't getting benefits. We aren't nothing.
And officially, 2009 was the first year that we paid more out in Social Security benefits than we took in.
Yes, we did.
7 years early.
Well, earlier than what the projections were, yeah. I'm not sure it was early, but yeah. Yep, yep.
And no expectation that that's going to reverse from here on out.
No, and that's a problem that has to get solved. And Paul Ryan has got solutions for that, but I don't have any expectation that he's actually going to get listened to. But
no, and I did pay attention to a summary of some of the suggestions he has, and I kind of like them. They kind of fit with my idea of reset.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I kind of like it. I don't want him to get the idea that he needs to start thinking about the White House.
No.
But there's plenty of people that are starting to think that way.
But you know what? Paul Ryan is young enough. He doesn't have to be thinking about the White House now. He needs to build his bones.
I think he can wait 8 to 12 years and be perfectly fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's forever in politics, granted, but nevertheless, it's what's real now, and he can do more good coming up with ideas as he has done than he can by immediately jumping into some kind of a race for the presidency.
I think if the GOP takes the House in November.
Yep, I think so too.
That he will be a force to be reckoned with in the House.
Yes. Yep.
And a lot of the things that he is proposing, the Republicans would be brain dead to ignore.
Well, you can't ever rule that out.
Because Charlie Crist is still running in Florida.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, God. I can't believe that. The guy is down, what, 14 points now?
Yeah.
And he is still running? Give me a break.
Speaking of brain dead, Murtha died.
Oh, yeah. I only have three things to say about that.
Condolences to the family.
One, my condolences to his family. They are going
That's
through a tough
I got
time. Well, I have two more things to say.
Go ahead.
Jack Murtha is the guy who, upon hearing about, not studying, not investigating, simply hearing about Haditha, condemned those Marines in absentia, every one of which has been acquitted since then. And he never apologized. He is also the only Marine that I know of that other Marines call an ex-Marine, not a former Marine. And
well,
that's all I got to say about that.
It was definitely slander.
Yep.
Slander of troops in the field. Lots of people will never forgive, and of course he can never apologize.
No,
so
he can't.
That will remain upon him a stain forever.
Yes. It does open up that House seat.
Which I don't think, I was thinking about this earlier on when I was thinking about the show and thinking about things. I don't think anybody assumed he was going to lose that seat.
Mm-mm.
What I think at this point, that may have changed because apparently most of his cronies have been arrested.
Okay, fine.
Or indictment or in investigation. So the odds of him, of somebody just stepping in from his circle to take over his seat is not likely. Apparently, it has to be a special election, and it's going to be in May.
Yes. The interesting thing about that district.
Yeah.
It is a district that went for Bush. It is also a district that went for McCain in 2008.
Well, then that's one that should turn.
It should turn.
Should turn.
There's another one on the board.
All right.
Yeah.
The only other thing that I had on the economy was Greece.
Mm. Sovereign debt.
We're not talking about flip sliding away here, folks.
Yeah.
Greece was running downhill. Greece, the country, downhill. Up until apparently, over the weekend, it reported that tax receipts were coming in higher than expected, and spending was coming in lower than expected for the first month of the year. And so everybody is cheering and yaying and happy. You know,
mm-hmm.
Greece is not going down the piss hole.
Well, that's a good thing.
I think it's still going down the piss hole.
Well, I think it is too, but it's still a good thing that their spending is less and their receipts are more.
Yeah. So
actually,
we'll see.
Germany is contemplating and has not yet made a decision, but is contemplating some kind of a bailout for Greece.
Not going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't think it would, but they're thinking about it, apparently.
I don't think it can happen. That puts the financial strictures, you know, in the EU into all kinds of crap.
Mm-hmm.
And if Greece gets bailed out, why the heck not Spain? Why the heck not Iceland? Why the heck not Ireland?
Yep. Because they've all got problems.
They all got problems. Puke.
Yes, they do.
So they all got problems over there. I think I've said this to you before. I've said it to other people before. It is amazing how long bad things can continue to go on.
Yes.
You sit here and kind of go, this can't go on much longer. And it goes on for a lot longer than you expect.
Uh-huh.
More and more,
yep.
You sit there and go, okay, this is bad. It's got to end soon. But it goes on a lot longer than you expect. And right now, the shoe had to have been dropped for an awful big height. Because
yeah, for it to still be in midair, yeah.
That or it's
yes, indeed.
Yeah,
it's that slow motion thing you get in the film, right? they have economic problems, probably in some respects as bad as we do. My guess is they probably don't solve them, and the only thing that pulls them out is China or the U.S. And I don't see us recovering.
I'm not looking forward for the idea of us doing it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we tried coordinating it first. Haven't heard anything about that in the news lately. Mainly, I think, because we don't have anything left to coordinate with.
Yeah, we don't have any friends in Europe at this point.
No, we don't. Well, and not only that, but in terms of economics, we don't have anything left to accommodate with. It's spent.
Yeah. We are spent, and spending more.
Oh, yeah. Although, I made an observation today on Twitter that when you owe the bank $1,000, they own you. When you owe them $4 trillion, you own them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So China.
Which is kind of the problem that China has with us at this point.
Exactly.
That's why Yeah. Well, when people say to me, you know, China could just call our debt, I'm going like, yeah,
Yeah, sure.
Let them go ahead and try.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
Go right ahead. You know?
Yeah.
Because I'm going to tell you who's going to be left standing at that one.
Yep.
And it isn't going to be China.
No, it isn't. And, you know, that's kind of your ultimate reset button.
You know, the question is, realistically speaking, how much damage would be done for a worldwide financial market reset?
Actually, not a lot. Well, not a lot for us.
Well, I mean, think about it. You know, there's two sides to this, okay? We know, you and I know, anybody that's been paying attention knows, that there's a huge debt overhang over the entire planet at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Somewhere in the vicinity of $400 to $500 trillion.
At least.
Now, that $400 to $500 trillion is supported by asset prices that are unrealistic.
Big time. Yes, they are.
What happens if you wipe out both sides?
Assets and liabilities?
Right. You know, if you wipe out both sides, but retain the structure, you know, what happens? I mean, let's take my mortgage, for example. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have, it's not exact, let's just use some rough numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I have a house worth $300,000 and a mortgage worth $300,000.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I turn around and say, you know, we need to hit the reset button, and the house really isn't worth $300,000, it's really only worth $75,000, so we're going to lop off $225,000 worth of my assets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that sucks, but
yeah.
If the mortgage gets written down to the same amount, $75,000,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, I'm in no better position than I was.
That's true.
But is the lender in any worse position other than, you know, a change in the numbers on the spreadsheet? Instead of the bank being worth $200 million, it's now only going to be worth $75 million.
Exactly.
But it still has the asset on the books. It still has the liability on the books.
The people that get hurt in that are the investors.
Which are sitting on multi-trillion dollar paper empires.
Yep. Well, except for those moms and pops that invested in the market that now don't have anything. Well, it's not that they don't have anything. They have a very much reduced share of something.
But if everything came down in price by 80%, then you'd be in a situation where your 80% reduction in income is still going to be, you know,
exactly.
relatively priced the same thing.
Exactly. I mean,
now,
that was my argument during that whole TARP thing, and that is, let them go bankrupt. Let them. They're not too big to fail. Let them fail. We have courts that specialized courts that take care of that kind of a problem. That doesn't.
Of course, that court was subverted.
Well, of course it was. Yes, yeah, very much so. I am convinced that will go down in the history books, regardless of how all of this turns out.
Yeah, that was probably. People don't understand this. That was probably the most significant destruction of the rule of law in this country in our history.
Yep, absolutely.
In our history.
I know. I'm makes Dred Scott pale. It makes all of those things pale. This was just pure destruction. And and it didn't have to be that way.
Yeah,
but
that,
you know,
so eventually that's going to it has to be corrected.
Yes.
Yeah. And the amount of damage that corrective process is going to cause is going to be significant.
Mm-hmm.
People on the left were talking about, once Democrats got in charge, they wanted, to put Bush and Cheney, on trial.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the GM case is going to get put on trial eventually.
Mm. Yeah.
And
yep.
I think there's going to be lots and lots of people that are going to pay for that. I certainly hope so, because if it's left to stand,
mm-hmm.
Then we have significantly compromised our federal court system in such a way as, for me, to put no faith in it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I don't think it's possible to overstate it, the damage that they did. I mean, they totally destroyed the idea of private property. They took that and they absolutely shredded it. For what? In my estimation, nothing. They still have Too Big to Fail out there. They still have Fannie, Freddie, and FHA writing mortgages that aren't worth the amount of money that they're saying that they are. They still have the unfunded liabilities, and they still have the notional liabilities of mortgages that aren't worth anything being carried on books. It's stupid. And our representatives and our senators fell for it. Big time.
The first time somebody brings to court a situation that they rely upon, what happened in GM.
Yep.
It's just going to blow up in their faces. It's really going to blow up in their faces.
Yep.
And,
you're
my
right.
Business is working in the bankruptcy court system, and I cannot tell you how bad this is. It's horrifying bad.
Oh, yeah.
And so few people paid attention to it. So few people paid attention to it.
I heard today that, or yesterday, I guess it was, bankruptcies are up 7% year over year.
I have not seen the new numbers.
Okay.
I think that number is probably pretty low.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Because I managed to pick up another client over the weekend, and she's already, at 60% of my top client levels. So.
Oh my God.
And the interesting thing about it was, she contacted four or five businesses over the weekend, and I'm the only one that responded over the weekend.
Wow.
I had business from her by the end of the weekend.
Wow.
Oh,
man.
So, being online and being paid attention to stuff like that. So, and that's good. And I've been busy. Really.
Oh, yeah.
So, and, everybody's hit their stride. Everybody expected by the end of January, beginning of February, everybody's hit their stride. It is getting crazy out there.
Man.
Let's talk about, although we talked about it a little bit, the global warming, only from the perspective of, because we didn't touch on this, it's, Barack Double D Obama.
Yes, indeed.
he's doubling down on health care. He's doubling down on his agenda.
Mm-hmm.
He's doubling down on health, on global warming with this idea of NOAA coming up with a new global warming committee.
Yep.
Board.
Absolutely.
Something, department to review global warming.
Exactly.
Now, I understand why India did it.
Yeah, they didn't trust the UN anymore, so they set up their own IPCC.
Right, they just yanked themselves out of the UN because they said, you know, you guys are bullshit.
Exactly.
Bullshit. Nobel Prize, bullshit.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, can't trust anymore, so we're setting. That's not what Obama's doing.
No, it isn't.
Obama's going, we want to show how good full of shit is. We're going to have twice as much full of shit.
Yeah, double down on shit.
Double down on shit.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Like, you know, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread if all you care about is politics.
Yes. Yep.
And you're not on his side.
Yep, that's also true.
Because, you know, he's doing wonderful, great things for the conservative movement.
Yes.
Wonderful, great things for the GOP.
Oh, yeah. Hell, he's doing a great thing for NFL. He picked the Colts.
Double down, dude!
There you go.
Maybe we could get him to pick the Cubs.
Actually, I want him to come out here and campaign for Barbara Boxer. I mean, I'm just praying that that happens. Jeez. This
is a one-man wrecking crew. The only thing I hate,
kiss of death.
The only thing I hate is that, realistically speaking, we are suffering the consequences of the Jimmy Carter presidency still yet today.
Yes, we are. Yep.
And the likelihood that we'll be still dealing with the after effects of the Obama presidency 10, 15, 20 years from now is high.
Very high. Very
but
high.
But Jimmy Carter literally has to be sending flowers to Barack Obama every week going, I'm not the worst. I'm not the worst. I'm not the worst.
Hey, you know, speaking of Jimmy Carter and Obama, what do you make of I'm a Dinner Jacket's threat for the 12th or the 11th, whichever it is? I'm forgetting which.
I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait. Please, he's been threatening stuff for 2 years.
Yeah, that's true.
Give me something good. You know, let him lob. Let me tell you. He lobs a little 1-kiloton nuke out into the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And lets it detonate out, you know, halfway to Diego Garcia.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Barack Obama is toast.
Yep. Yep.
Toast.
Certainly is.
Because he'll have only one of two choices. He'll either have to get really hawkish and do something about it, which will absolutely destroy him with the left.
Absolutely.
Or he's going to have to go on the TV and go, you shouldn't, he's going to wag his finger, you shouldn't do that. And that's going to be it. And everyone on the planet's going to go, ballless wuss.
Yes. Yep.
And he'll be toast with everyone else.
Yep.
He can't win.
No, I mean, that truly is a no-win kind of a thing. What I'm worried about, and maybe it's one of those far-out worries and all that kind of stuff, but you remember the stories about the Russian suitcase nukes? That was back a few years ago?
Yeah.
My worry is he's got his hands on one or two of those.
Well, he'd have to do something with it.
Not just
go out in the middle of the desert and pop it off.
Do you recall the story of about 2 to 4 months ago of the Muslim penetrators of our southern border?
No.
Ah.
I mean, there was stuff I had heard almost over a year or 2 years ago.
No, this was recent. This was like 2 to 4 months ago, and it may have been an old story. I did not delve that deeply into it. But I'm sitting here putting two and two together and coming up with bad news. I'm saying, you know what? If they could do that And yeah, those got caught, but I wonder how many didn't get caught. And then I couple that with suitcase nukes. I got a bad scenario.
You know what?
Yeah.
This is one of those places where I don't think anybody in their right mind would use it on American soil.
You assume my dinner jacket has a right mind.
Right, right. That's exactly my point. I'm not saying that is. But, I think there's probably a few people in his administration that go, yeah, look, no, that would be a really bad idea. But I don't think he'd have a bad problem with it popping in across the border near Gaza or the West Bank.
Well, that would be another scenario, in which case God help him. But the other factoid that I put together with all of that was Khamenei came out and said the same thing 2 days ago.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that they set off a nuke. If they test a nuke. That's enough to shake everyone at this point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Barack has a very short window in order to do it, and I really don't. He doesn't have the cojones to do what he would have to do. He certainly doesn't have the genetics. He doesn't have the mindset to do what he would have to do.
Expect
that our presidents will grow into that position when something bad happens.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's capable. I don't think he's capable of doing that.
Well, not only is I don't think he's capable, but I don't think that, with the exception of the military, I don't think he has anybody in his administration that's capable of it. I think the advice that he gets from his civilian corps is suspect.
Well, I gather that from some of the things that he said to the Republicans in Baltimore. Some of the things that comes out of his mouth, I go, who are you listening to?
Oh, yeah.
Where are you getting this information from? Because it doesn't square with reality at all.
Exactly. But he is a non-reality president. I mean, look at his press. Look at how he's gotten into office. All of the offices that he's held, he's a non-reality president.
Well, yeah, and just the response to the idea that the only reason they haven't gotten health care is because the GOP stopped it. I'm like,
oh, yeah. Yeah, God. That's just
unrealistic base. I'm not looking forward to the idea of Iran setting off a nuke in Israel or the United States or even in the Indian Ocean or even in their own deserts. There's so many bad things that are associated with that it's just, the idea of it happening is bad, 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 bad. However, as bad things go, putting it on a 1,000-mile missile and dumping it into, the Indian Ocean, is a good bad thing.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
And I firmly believe that within 36 hours of that happening, Israel will go into Iran.
I think that's probably true. I don't think that they can't do that. I mean, that's an existential threat to them.
It wouldn't be existential at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. And if that happens, then they have proof positive.
30 seconds, do your shout-out.
Okay, kid. Mama Gurky and just me, Pammy, and all the others that are listening in, Memorati, and all of you folks, thank you very much for listening. Thank you.
We have snow today. Snow in a couple of days. CJ has been contacted by local press. They like some of her pictures.
Cool.
And Victoria will be on dialysis by the end of the year.
Oops.
See you next week.
All righty.
We're in the green room.
Okay. What's with V? What's going on?
This is, you know, somebody with high blood pressure, somebody with diabetes, it's just a matter of time before there's kidney failure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been progressing for the last 5 years. It seems to have picked up a little bit of speed over the winter. She is officially stage 5, which is the last stage of kidney disease.
Mm-hmm.
The specific numbers are irrelevant, but I mean, once you hit 15% kidney function, they consider you to be at that point to be a candidate for dialysis.
Okay.
The question is when, and there is no hard and fast rule. Somebody that's at 14% might need to be on dialysis. Somebody that's at 10% might need to be on dialysis.
Mm.
You know, somebody at 12% might be perfectly fine, even at 12%.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It appears at this point she's somewhere between 13 and 14%. But there's no other symptoms. This is all, you know, blood workups and such like that that have pulled up that number.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, sometime in the next year she will probably be on dialysis.
Boy.
And that's not the bad news.
Ah.
Believe it or not.
No.
From my perspective, well, it's a bad news, good news, bad news, same coin. Bad news is, the dialysis, once you go on dialysis, they don't take insurance anymore.
What?
Yeah, you heard me. I didn't understand this. I had to have it explained to me. You go on dialysis, you're not on insurance. Dialysis is an automatic entry onto Medicare. Automatic. They don't even bother with the insurance. They don't bother with self-pay. You're automatically put on Medicare.
I'll be darned.
You know why?
Why?
Dialysis is about $1,000 a day.
Ouch.
3 times a week. Forever.
Mm. Mm.
So, you know, that's, you know, $150,000 a year minimum. Minimum.
Yeah.
Minimum. So they don't even bother. You go on dialysis, you're on Medicare, period.
Wow.
It's not, they don't even ask about the insurance. If you're going on dialysis, it's an automatic.
That'll be darned.
So for me, that's a bad thing as much as that it's, you know, she has, you know, she's going to go on to government-sponsored medical care.
Yep, absolutely.
And, you know, I don't like that. The good news is, you know, she's not going to be, you know, $100,000 more in debt a year from now.
Exactly. Exactly.
So, I mean, you know, I'm not happy about that particular situation. The money is certainly not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
Both of us do not like the idea of her being on dialysis.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, that puts a crimp into a whole lot of different things. There are multiple different ways that it can be done. It can be done in the clinic. It can be done at home. It can be done overnight.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different ways. It appears that doing it in a clinic setting, believe it or not, might be the least expensive way.
Really?
Sometime in the next 3 months, she will have to have surgery done to prepare her body for dialysis.
Yeah,
they
have
to
put shunts in and all that.
Well, if not shunts, what they do is they take a vein and an artery, and they tie them directly together. And over 3 months, the artery enlarges the vein because of the pressure differences. It enlarges the vein and strengthens the vein because of the higher pressure. That's the place where the needles are put in every day.
Ah.
But it takes 1 to 3 months for that to heal well enough and to get going well enough to start accepting the needles. So it has to be done. It'll be done sometime between now and the summer, so that if and when she needs it in the fall or the winter, she'll be ready.
Got it.
So,
I had actually two friends of mine that died after having been on dialysis for some time, but one of them had the at-home treatments. And they put a shunt in him he had to be careful and keep it clean and all that kind of stuff, but that was actually pretty easy to do. So I was just surprised to hear about the what you were describing in terms of dialysis, because I thought it was all pretty much the same.
There is one where they put a catheter into the abdomen, and it's done at home. And that can be done at night while you're asleep. The only issue is that it's a heavier use of glucose.
Ah, okay.
Which means if you're diabetic,
yeah,
it really plays havoc with your sugars.
Sure it does. Of course.
So it's a less, for somebody that's on diabetes, that's diabetic, it's less possible. The alternative is for me to do, there is a way to do the dialysis here at home, and then I would have to go to school and get trained to do it, because I'd be the in-home provider to it. The difference is that it's done 6 days a week, so it's done every day, although it's a shorter period of time, only about two and a half hours a day, versus 3 to 3.5 hours three times a week.
Right.
So, we're talking about it, but it's not.
Yeah.
Neither one of us wanted to be in this, for her to be in this position.
Exactly. Exactly.
But it's, it's coming down the pipe.
Yep.
You know, at this point, it's just, the only reason it's not happening is because she feels okay.
Okay.
If it gets to the point where she starts feeling shitty, that's when it happens. So, it's not a matter of when. It's not a matter of if at this point. It's just a matter of when. Probably sometime in the next year.
Well, doggone it. I'm sorry. That's all I can say.
I appreciate that. It is a consequence, of, her health. She's been diabetic for over 25 years.
Okay.
She has had hypertension for as long as I've known her, for about 20 years. Those two things. We were also at the ophthalmologist today, the surgeon that is there to look at her glaucoma and cataract. One of the tests that they did today, something they've never done before, I was amazed and I was surprised. One of the questions we keep asking all these eye surgeons and eye doctors is, what kind of vision can she have if the surgery does well? And of course they have all kinds of things. Well, the doctor today did a test that I went, now we know something. This is what she did. It was a special piece of equipment and a special test. And what they do is they the eye chart is projected onto the retina. So it completely ignores the lens.
And goes
straight to the optic nerve. And they get a reading how much, how good her optic system is. And in her case, pretty damn shitty. So the surgeries won't have any, won't have much of an impact because the damage to the the optic nerve and the retina have already significantly degraded her eyesight. However, you know, they do think that, you know, taking out the cataract would do something for her. And, you know, she's on more meds, new meds, and she does have a prescription for glasses. They think it might help. And, yeah, it is the Coke bottle glasses. It's been a rather, you know, we had a big week of doctor's appointments last week and some more today, and both of us are pretty shot about it. So, you know, it's life sucks, and then it goes on.
That and it is what it is. Yes, indeed.
It is what it is.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
You can't have diabetes and high blood pressure for 25 years and not have significant compromise
yes,
in your health.
Absolutely. Which says, folks, all of you folks who are listening, get yourselves checked. Don't be sitting there living with it, not knowing you got anything, because you don't have symptoms. Not until it's way too late.
Yeah, especially on the glaucoma part.
You
can have significant eye damage and not notice much in the way of your vision being affected. And, of course, high blood pressure, the high blood pressure kills the heart, kills the kidneys, kills the liver, you know, kills your eyes. You know, all, anything that's sensitive, you know, that's fine nerve senses, that's very sensitive with blood transfers and stuff like that, you know, high blood pressure does terrible damage to that. Terrible damage to that.
Well, and the same thing is true of diabetes.
You know, you can, your body can tolerate significantly high pressure and blood pressure and significantly bad diabetes for a very long period of time.
Absolutely.
With no discernible damage as far as you're concerned. You wouldn't even know what's going on and the damage is being done. But once it's done, you know, none of those things recover.
Exactly.
You know, kidneys don't heal. Once they're damaged, that damage is permanent and it just, it's just progressive. So those things are there. Anyways, so the watchword of the day is, you know, be careful.
Go in, get checked.
Those things are there. And for a long period of time, Victoria didn't care as far as the diabetes was concerned.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she'd sit there with a half a gallon of ice cream and say, that's why they make insulin.
Okay, fine. You know, there is something to be said for that, though.
You know?
There is something to be said for
it. So, you know, and she'll be the first to say that she was not always a good patient.
So, folks, get yourself checked. You're better off knowing than not knowing. Which reminds me, I need to go in and get my blood test for my checkup and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm seriously thinking about having a colon check. I'm over 50 at this point.
Yep. Actually, I'm due for another one.
So
pretty close.
Although, fortunately, in our family.
Yes.
Cancer is practically non-existent.
Really? How fortunate.
Practically non-existent.
Wow.
Got
some good genes there.
Yeah. We got lots of other issues.
yeah, right.
it appears that my little sister was in the hospital a week ago for heart problems.
Oops.
And it appears they were doing some research into my two brothers that have died, their medical records. It appears that both of them had the same problem.
Ooh. That gets a little close to home.
So, they are, nobody ever put 2 + 2 + 2 together and came up with 6.
Mm-hmm.
But my sister has a doctor at this particular point going, they don't know what's going on with their heart. They only know the tissue is being attacked.
Hmm.
And it appears that both Eddie and Billy had similar damage to the heart that my sister is beginning to show.
Hmm.
So, I'm not showing any of those same symptoms at this point, so...
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
But probably wouldn't hurt. That probably wouldn't hurt to get checked anyway, though.
We're waiting to find out exactly what they can say is going on.
Ah, got it.
Once they say this is what we think is going on, then the rest of us can be checked.
Got it. Yep.
So she's a little concerned.
Well, I would think, yeah.
My brother Steve, I call him the walking corpse.
Oh, really?
And I mean corpse, not core.
Oh, okay.
What a moron.
Yeah, he is.
Do you see the picture of the White House press corpse?
No, I didn't see that, but I can imagine it.
It's Helen Thomas.
Oh, man. The zombies! The zombies are coming!
What was I going to say?
I don't know. We were talking about your brother, and you call him the walking corpse.
He's been a heavy smoker since he was 16.
Oh, okay.
You know, he's 50 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, there's little or no cancer in our family. You know, there's none in my parents, none in my grandparents on either side.
Wow.
So, cancer is just not there, so that my brother might be safe for that, except for, I'm the only one in the family that has never smoked.
Uh-huh.
So.
Hmm.
The last thing in the world that I want to have happen is something happen to my sister and to my brother. Because that means that it would be me and my sister Anne left.
Mm.
Oh, no!
No! You don't want that. No. Oh, Lord.
That wouldn't be nice.
Yeah, I know.
I might consider at that point, you know, is that fratricide when you kill a family member? No.
What?
I would never kill my sister.
Never, ever.
I might strangle her to a point of unconsciousness, but not kill
her.
Yeah.
Okay.
Gee, we're recording this, aren't they?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You better put that disclaimer in there.
better have a good alibi.
Yeah.
Victoria said that for a lot of times. She said, I don't want to live past 65.
Yeah.
She doesn't want to live past 65, so she said that at 65 she's going to hire a hitman.
Ah.
You know, to just, you know, show up sometime and just take her out.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, that's fine. If you want to do that, that's fine. Just make sure I have an alibi.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Let's get a little coordination here, huh?
You know, be considerate.
Yeah, that's right.
All right.
Oh,
you got anything else going on?
No, I'm pretty much done. I'm starting to in to work on Rubio and DeVore for in terms of politics.
Jim DeMint's following me, by the way, on Twitter.
Is he really?
I was amazed.
Cool. Cool. All right.
Don't know why.
But other than that, I'm pretty well set. It's taken up a bunch of time working on those two. And there's a couple of California races I'd like to get involved in, but we'll see how that works. I want to see Mary Bono Mack get beat down in, where is it, 29 Palms, someplace like that. Other than that, I'm concentrating on DeVore and Rubio. Those are my guys.
Those are your guys.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, I worked all day and I've got no doctor's appointments or anything tomorrow, so I can spend all day working on other
people. Lucky you.
Yeah, I'm going to try and crash out this evening.
Yep.
Bill, have a good week.
You too, Tracy.
Enjoy the good weather, and
yep.
We will talk to you next week.
All righty. See you later. Bye.
Good night, everyone.